Time now for the latest world sport from the BBC with me, Adi Adedoyin. Coming up, Ivory Coast maintained their unbeaten record en route to the semi-finals of the Africa Cup of Nations. Rafael Nadal wins another epic against Roger Federer to reach the Australian Open final.
It's a fantastic victory for me, very, very happy playing against the greatest of the history in the semi-final, big match. You know, one of the victories that will stay in my mind forever.
He'll face the winner of the second semi-final between Novak Djokovic and Andy Murray. And Australia's cricketers close in on a 4-0 series whitewash over India. More on that in a moment, but first, one of the pre-tournament favourites, Ivory Coast, have joined the co-host Equatorial Guinea in the quarter-finals of the Africa Cup of Nations. They beat Burkina Faso by 2-0 in Malabo to secure top spot in their group. Earlier, Sudan scored their first goals in the Nations Cup for 36 years to draw 2-2 against Angola. Both sides are still in with a chance of reaching the knockout phase. The BBC's Nick Cavill has more.
Ivory Coast are through to the quarterfinals of the Africa Cup of Nations thanks to a 2-0 win over Burkina Faso in Group B on Thursday in Malabo. The result also means that Burkina Faso are out of the tournament. Chelsea's Salomon Kalou opened the scoring for the Ivorians after 15 minutes. He fired home from 12 yards after the Burkinabe defence failed to clear a cross. The Elephants were then happy to defend in numbers, and then with 8 minutes to go, a long hopeful ball was headed into his own net by defender Bakary Kone to complete the win for Ivory Coast. In the day's earlier game, Sudan's first goals at the Nations Cup finals since 1976 saw them twice come from behind to secure a 2-2 draw with Angola. Manucho scored both goals for Angola, including one from the penalty spot. Sudan's historic goals both came from Mohamed Ahmed Bashir to give his side their first points since 1976 too. Angola need just a point from their final group game against Ivory Coast on Monday to advance, while Sudan must beat Burkina Faso in their game at the same time and hope the Ivorians win too if they are to advance at the expense of the Angolans.
Well, as Nick mentioned there, Angola only need a draw against Ivory Coast in their final match to qualify for the quarterfinals. But their goalkeeper, Carlos Fernandez, says they can't approach the game in that frame of mind.
We must win the next game. Eh? We don't have any option. We must win. We must go to the qualification. This is the most important, and we're going to work this week for this.
Are you upset that you will miss the final game? Are you annoyed with yourself for maybe two silly yellow cards?
Of course, I didn't do nothing today. Last game okay, but today I didn't do nothing, and the referee gave me the yellow card. I'm sad because I'm not going to play the next game, but I'm going to stay out to make support to my fans to win the game.
Elsewhere, Asamoah Gyan is a doubt for Ghana's match against Mali this weekend. The striker picked up an ankle injury in Thursday's training session. The Ghanaian captain, John Mensah, is also struggling with a muscle injury at the moment. He won't feature for the Black Stars on Saturday following his red card in the opening group game. Here in England, Tottenham's assistant manager, Kevin Bont, has confirmed that Harry Redknapp will be present and will pick the team for their FA Cup fourth round match against the Championship side Watford this weekend. Redknapp is currently on trial for tax evasion. At the news conference ahead of the tie, Bond was asked if Redknapp's absence had affected their preparation.
Very little, really. We had a similar scenario a couple of weeks ago, really, or a few weeks ago, when Harry had a small procedure done and we had him not here for a week or so, and leading up to the Fulham game, I think it was. So it's not a dissimilar situation, really. So the training carries on pretty much as normal. Everybody has just been getting on with things pretty much as normal. So there's not really a lot of difference, except obviously Harry's presence isn't here during the day.
The owner of the Swiss side, Neuchâtel Zamek, has been arrested. Bulat Chagaev, a Chechen billionaire, was arrested a few hours after the club lost their appeal to have their license reinstated following accusations of falsifying financial documents. It means they'll miss the second half of the Swiss season, which resumes next week. Professor Vincent is a dean at Neuchâtel University. He organized a protest against Chagaev last year.
Before the club was bought, I read in the newspaper about his relationship with Kadyrov, the president of Chechnya, and also his comment about there being no clean money, or his comment about there being no clean money. And I was absolutely outraged that nobody in this canton was questioning what was happening. So I went out in the streets and distributed flyers and organized a protest the day before the sale. And because of the flyers, I was pursued for defamation. But I was profoundly shocked about, in particularly out of respect for all the people in Chechnya who've been disappearing in the last few years under the Kadyrov regime, but also because it was very clear from the very start that this new owner was going to be bad news for everyone.
And you can hear more from Professor Patrick Vincent on this week's World Football Programme here on the BBC World Service. On to tennis now, Andy. World number one, Novak Djokovic, will take on Andy Murray in the second men's semi-final at the Australian Open on Friday. It's a repeat of last year's final, which Djokovic won in straight sets. Murray feels he has the measure of his man this time around.
You know, I know, you know, how to win against him. You need to play great tennis. You need to get into long, tough exchanges with him. He makes very few mistakes. He moves unbelievably well, so you need to try and, you know, take his legs away, and it's not an easy thing to do, but the way to do that is by playing long rallies, trying to dictate a lot of the points and making it tough for him.
It's a new year, you know, new challenges for all of us. He's got Ivan Lendl now on his side. He's made some changes. You know, he looks fit. He's been playing well, and he's definitely very motivated to win his first Grand Slam, and he's been playing last 2 years finals here. He's been proving to himself and to the rest of the people that Australian Open is probably his best Grand Slam. You know, we have to expect a great match, and I hope that I can step out on the court trying to repeat the same game I did last year.
Defending champion Novak Djokovic there. Well, the winner will meet the world's number two, Rafael Nadal, in Sunday's final. The Spaniard overcame his old adversary, Roger Federer, in four sets in a thrilling match on Thursday. And he had this advice for Murray ahead of his meeting with Djokovic.
In my opinion, Andy, if he wants to win that match, I think he has to play more aggressive than usual. And that's what that's my advice. But my advice probably is not work very well because I lost sets the last six times against him.
To cricket now, and Australia are closing in on victory against India in the final test in Adelaide. The fourth day's play will get underway in the next few hours, with the home side on 50 for 3 in their second innings, a lead of 382 runs. Paceman Peter Siddle claimed 5 wickets on day 3 to restrict India to 272, and he believes the condition of the wickets will work in their favour.
You notice at the end, obviously, Hilfi had one ball that he pitched on a good length and has seen the roll through and bounced about 3 or 4 times before he got the had. So there's a little bit up and down there. Zahir got one first up early on to Davey that sort of took off a little bit, so it's a little bit up and down, and obviously the footmarks, yeah, they'll come into play in the next couple of days. So, yeah, if we can work hard in the morning, get a few runs on the board, and then just keep pushing forward, then, yeah, when we get the ball in our hand, obviously go about it how we have this up the whole summer.
Over to Abu Dhabi now, where the second test between Pakistan and England is delicately poised. England closed day two on 207 for 5 in reply to Pakistan's first innings total of 257 all out. Syed Ajmal finished today with 3 for 67. From Abu Dhabi, the BBC's Alison Mitchell.
It was a fascinating and tense day's cricket, a gritty century partnership between Alistair Cook and Jonathan Trott, steering England into a position of strength, only for Pakistan to hit right back with 4 wickets before the close, including Morgan with the last ball of the day, and leaving England breathing a sigh of relief that they've got the overnight to pause and regroup. Cook grafted for his 94, as did Trott for 74, after Strauss had gone early, still searching for form and out for 11. But the pitch looked completely different when first Peterson, then Morgan were caught at slip, having never settled against Ajmal, and Bell looked all at sea against the Dusra in particular. He'll be joined by Matt Prior in the morning, with England still needing another 50 runs before they can even contemplate a first innings lead.
And before we go, a reminder of our top story. One of the pre-tournament favourites, Ivory Coast, have joined the co-host Equatorial Guinea in the quarterfinals of the Africa Cup of Nations to beat Burkina Faso by 2-0 in Malabo to secure top spot in their group. Earlier, Sudan scored their first goals at the Nations Cup in 36 years to draw 2-2 against Angola. And